Hello and welcome to the Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno. Alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good morning.
Another great morning in the video game world.
Early Sunday morning with my wife being like, "What the fuck do you got to do this podcast so early? Can I sleep in one day on the weekend?" And I'm like, No.
I have a commitment. I'm sorry.
I was like, text Alex if you have a problem with the time. I think it's early too.
I don't know how we
start a support group for the wives of of the Pixelated Realms.
Who decided 9 a.m.? I want to sleep in too.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but somehow it happened. Emily did, because Emily was like, okay, 9 a.m. is early enough where it doesn't fuck up my Sunday. And so I was like, I literally think that's how.
And the kids.
I was like, if it's any later in the day, if we started this at 11, right? Like, it's like, we get that around 1 and it's like, your half your Sunday's gone. So
yeah. We gotta provide that coffee energy to the podcast for our viewership. So
I know. Well, between 12 and 3 is nap time. So I can't, you know, talk loud during those hours. But yeah, we'll have to figure that out another time.
Clearly, anyways, Alex just needs to move. But I mean, that sounds what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, might move, but probably not any closer to you.
So what have we been doing in the game world, guys?
Yeah, what's video games? What?
Video games? Gamecast?
Yeah, so I've been watching Fallout. And we will talk about that.
Fallout.
So I'm not going to give any early spoilers yet, but I've been watching Fallout and it made me want to download Fallout. So I downloaded Fallout New Vegas. I was debating because we will talk about this more later. So I'm only going to go into a little bit, but I was like, do I play Fallout 3? Do I play Fallout 4? Do I play Fallout New Vegas? I never beat New Vegas. So I was like, all right, I'm going to heavily mod New Vegas. And play that one. So
I read your mind yesterday when I was playing Rogue Trader, and I just see Alex has logged on to New Vegas. Alex has logged on to New Vegas, and I go, Alex is sitting here modding New Vegas.
Yeah.
I was like, Steve is such a giveaway. Like, I literally knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah,
I could see you log on every 5 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Does this one crash it? Is this what crash it?
Nope.
Is this
okay, crash we're
it?
Good.
All right. Yep. Exactly what I was doing. But so we'll talk about that a little bit. I downloaded Warhammer Chaos Gate, which is pretty fun.
It was on sale, so you pulled the trigger.
Yeah, pulled the trigger on that. It's like the XCOM version of Warhammer, and I like it. I like it a lot better than XCOM, and I know a lot of people are going to be really pissed about that. But
debate that.
I know, right? XCOM, for me, was just too unrelenting, and it's a very pure RNG experience, and a lot of people like that, and I totally understand. And it's like, hey, you have a 60% chance to hit, and it's like, yeah, either you hit or you don't or whatever. But
should we talk about it a little bit?
I mean, if you want to talk about it, I will not stop you. I just felt like XCOM 2 was I was just getting mutilated even on easy mode. And I was just like, the game is cool. The game is fun. It's very well made, but I just couldn't do it. My psyche couldn't handle the amount of ass kicking that I got.
It's a very fair assessment, and that's totally true. But there's certain things. Having played and beaten XCOM 2 through on a normal difficulty, I had very similar feelings. But let's draw like a direct comparison here. So Warhammer, I don't want to butcher it. It is Warhammer Chaos Gate Demon Hunters is the game Alex was referring to. Mm-hmm. It was recently on sale. It might still be on sale, depending on when you're listening. For a high amount, but it is essentially a Warhammer version of XCOM. And if you've never played XCOM 2 or the XCOM series at all, you take a squad. It is a turn-based squad game. You drop in with a few of your team of members. You move around, but it's more shooting focused. So you are usually having your character shoot at an enemy at a very low percentage of hit. You also have options like overwatching, which you might be familiar with from other games, which means essentially that your character doesn't choose to shoot, but if someone does come into their range, they can then automatically shoot at them. So that's kind of some core concepts of these games. But in general, they are turn-based shooting games that have a very cool, what would you say, like a in-action combat cinematic
feel? It's tactical. It's like a top-down RTS kind of view, but it's a tactical turn-based.
But it's not RTS. It's like...
No, I just mean like that's like the style. Over,
okay, yeah. Like Final Fantasy Tactics or... I'm trying to think of other like... Fire Emblem or, you know, things like that. So either way, even though I thought the Warhammer game was super fun, I did not play it as much as Alex. But regarding XCOM 2 and its difficulty, so XCOM 2 is actually one of my favorite games. It's like, after I beat that game, I thought it was one of the most incredible games ever. And it actually, the punishing ideas also bothered me a lot, because in the beginning, when you lose a guy on turn one, you know, you have to sit here and invest time into the party that you're creating. Mm-hmm. And then you go into a mission and he gets freaking murdered on turn one. Yeah. And he's gone forever. That person's gone. Like that time and experience you invested in that character is gone. So it's super punishing in that sense. But it also, the counter effect is that you take you are incredibly careful about every single step and move you make in that game. And when you're dropping into these missions, and I can't explain the whole plot of the game, but you essentially drop into missions, you have an objective. Well, there's usually a bonus objective or, you know, some kind of other thing to do, or, you know, do it as quickly as you can kind of secondary objective. And the game is so punishing, makes you say, sometimes I'm not going to be optimal. I'm not going to get the secondary objective. I'm not going to save the citizens. I am not going to get my whole team out. And that puts a certain amount of like this super cool, like, I don't want to say realistic because that's not the correct term, but like this interesting like pressure and finality to everything you do in the game. And yes, you can go back and save a load file, but there's the true game mode is to not do that, live with your actions. And so even though the game is pretty long form, it actually does have a roguelike feel to it.
And
once you get used to it, it does take a lot of time getting used to, and I found that by the end of my my XCOM 2 playthrough, I was overwatching most of my characters. And you do build up those characters, the game does become substantially easier.
Yeah, okay, but my thing is, like, I enjoy a really tough, realistic, immersive, hardcore experience. I like that stuff.
Hardcore
like
is a good word for it.
Yeah, hardcore, you know, meaning that the risks are real.
Punishing.
That sucks.
But what I really don't like in video games, and I don't think these have to be tied together, is when they completely disrespect my time and make me waste hours doing something. And then, so like, for instance, like if I'm building up a character and I spend a long time making this character, and Darkest Dungeon is another good example of this that like I had trouble with. And I like games like that. Yeah. Like I like Dark Souls. I've platinum most of them. Like I like that kind of punishment, but I don't like it if I can invest a bunch of time, make an investment in the game, and then instantly over because of an RNG thing, all of that gets wiped away and I have to start over from scratch. And it just seems disrespectful to my time and my investment. And I understand that there needs to be an extreme punishment, but there can be punishment without completely fucking my time over. Because then I'm like, listen, I don't feel now that if I invest any time in this game, I'm actually going to get the worth of it back. And so, like, what I like a lot about this game is not only is it more forgiving, it is still very tough, though. It's still very tough. Like, I still have people getting down and stuff like that.
And you're talking about Chaos Gate.
I'm talking about Chaos Gate, so the Warhammer. Yeah. The thing I like about this game is, so, like, if your guy goes down, he has basically, like, three lives. And I think it's called, like, resilience or something like that. And so if he, like, gets killed during a match, back at your ship, it's like, oh, he's resilience from 3 to 2. and but you can still use him. Then if he gets to zero, so if he dies permanently three times, he gets he's either I don't know, I haven't done it yet, but he's either dead or he like gets shipped back to the planet or whatever like that. He's gone, but he's off of your ship. You can't use him, but you can recycle some of his experience into another character. So you basically like can take like I don't know how much it is, let's say like 50-60% or something like that, and you can merge him into another character. So it's like even if even though that guy's dead, your investment in him is dead, there you
you're
spent
still
like,
carrying some of that
there's it's not a complete loss, right? You're like, okay, like I get it, you know, I was too, you know, gung-ho with this guy. He died a bunch of times, and he had really good gear and lots of experience, so he had a lot of abilities and stuff like that. It's like now, but I some of that will be saved, and I can So I'm not starting a new guy over from scratch, and I like that. And, you know, and on top of that, the game is just very fun because it's got that cool gothic Warhammer military aesthetic and stuff like that, you know, and the Space Marines are really cool. And, you know, like the story is pretty good. And I mean, I'm just enjoying it so far. Yeah. Like it's a good experience. And I think I picked it up for like, it was on sale when I got it. So I like picked it up for like
$6 or $7.
Yeah, it was really cheap. Yeah. But I'm liking it. I like it. And, you know, we're on our Warhammer kick. So of course we kind of are like, definitely want to play, but,
you know, it's funny you mentioned Darkest Dungeon because I thought that was actually that's a really great example of a game I felt similar to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. I felt like that one was too punishing. Mm-hmm. Like there was too much negative happening for me to feel like I was ever progressing or ever having an opportunity to get better. And it's funny because my fiance, who, you know, maybe we can get her on to talk about it and debate me, she's beaten both 1 and 2. She loves both of those games. But, like, I just cannot do it. Like, it's just, if I can't feel like I'm progressing. So, and this was the same in XCOM or any games that mm-hmm. follow this pattern. If I can't progress at least a group of people, I don't need that squad to be in every battle. But I cannot, like, I at least want to switch between a couple reliable people. If I can't have a team of reliable people in a game, then it's not fun for me to progress. Mm-hmm. And in Darkest Dungeon, I could never keep, like, a really reliable team. Yeah. Or, like, they would get these attributes that would make them so unfavorable, and then you'd have to wait 2 whole rounds to get them cured. And, like, you never had enough money for torches. You never had enough money for campfires and all these different mechanics in the game that if you don't do it, they punish you so hard. And, and it's once, you know, like, once again, I have probably like 20 hours in Darkest Dungeon. It's not that I didn't like give it a really good like hustle for a while. And so like, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are like, dude, you just had to really get into it or something like that. And I just couldn't get there. And it's funny because I feel that way about XCOM too. I'm like, oh, you know, once you get there, though, it's great. You know, it's just didn't happen this time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, like Darkest Dungeon, I like what you said that like you needed like a team to go through the entire game with. And I feel 100% the same way. Is like I need something that anchors me into this world that's been with me from the beginning that I can feel like is a representation of my progress. Yeah. And, you know, be like, hey, these are my people. And like Darkest Dungeon, I get that like you're kind of the town. And that you're hiring these mercenaries that are supposed to feel like they're like throwaway, they're very disposable. And but like the town doesn't do a good enough representation of showing your progress. Like I don't feel like, okay, even if I got wiped out, I have enough upgrades in my town that I can recover quickly. And
well, and that's the thing too in that game. It's like you spend your currency, which is incredibly valuable, on upgrading that particular character. Yep. So as soon as they die or become unusable, it's like, shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like you're the whole thing is just, yeah, like it wastes your time, right? To me, like,
right.
And
if I'm just gonna restart my whole game, like it's one of those games you want to just restart.
Yeah, exactly. And I did the same thing with Darkest Dungeon, where I gave it like a good college try, and it just didn't work out. I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not doing this again. But yeah, so Warhammer game is good. I've also been playing randomly. Speaking of difficult games, I've been playing For Honor. So I kind of, so Dragon's Dogma 2.
Should have hit me up. I'll play with you.
Okay, let's do it. I want to talk about Dragon's Dogma 2 a little bit. I think it might be going to the graveyard because that I've been playing it and it just, the hooks weren't deep enough in me. Like, I'm not attached enough to the story. I'm not attached enough to the characters. And the exploring is good, but it's not great. It's no Skyrim. It's no Witcher. Like, it's not like
Breath
I'm
of the
going,
Wild, even though you hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, even still, like, it's not like, you know, they want you to, they're trying to get you to explore the world. And that's, like, very encouraged in the game. But it's like, oh, I found a cave. Okay, there's monsters in the cave. Okay, all right, there's a just, like, okay piece of gear inside. Okay. You're like, what am I playing for? When, like, if you play games like The Witcher or something like that, where you
complex,
you never like, know what the hell is about to go down, right? Like, you go, you do some stupid ass side quest, and you don't realize that that's about to open up a can of worms you couldn't believe. You know, same thing with like Skyrim and all these things. Like, you know, oh, this just happens to be, you know, there's like a ghost here. Okay, that ghost is a princess, you know, blah blah, you know, whatever, it goes down that rabbit hole. But like, Dragon's Dogma seems so vanilla. It seems
it's interesting you say that, because I always thought Dragon's Dogma, I've played the first game, I've watched like a good chunk of the TV show, like all in all, like I think it's supposed to be this like vanilla medieval dragon-esque fantasy setting for you to impose yourself into. And I think there's like positives and negatives to that. Positives are like you can create the experience that you want with that game. Like it feels open. Negatives are that I do feel it is very generic, like overly generic. It's kind of like, I'd go as far to say like kind of uninspired. Like it's a dragon.
Yeah.
And everything else was medieval with some, you know, typical mix of magic and whatnot. So it's like, I really like the idea of that game, but I feel like it just, with the core concept of the IP is never going to be like, and could never exceed an 8 out of 10. Ever.
No,
like,
I couldn't.
And then you're just like, okay, you know. But so maybe someone else feels differently. Let us know in the comments, but still.
Yeah. You know. But you know, I'm chucking that in next to Skull and Bones with games that I've abandoned this year.
Yeah.
And so I picked up For Honor because that's one that I've been wanting to play for a while, and I like it. It's good. It's I've played through like the story part of the game right now, and it's pretty good. It's not great as far like I like the I would love to see a For Honor 2 that really takes the combat system that they have and really doubles down on the complexity and the coolness of it, because to me, one of the things is, so if you don't know, For Honor is like this dual based medieval game, so you're like, it's kind of
Ubisoft, right?
It's an Ubisoft game, and it is, you like lock on to another player and you have like, you can defend in either up, left, or right, and then you can you basically like, they're trying to attack a high, you can block high, you know, that kind of thing, or you can attack low, well, you know, whatever. And so it's kind of this like game of, you know, like rock paper scissors ish kind of method. But the thing is, for a game that is trying to be very dual based like that, there's a little bit of slop in it, and you know, as far as like the frames are concerned and stuff like that, as opposed to like when I play games like Dark Souls, like, you know, exactly like that sword hitbox is going to be exact, you know what I mean, and like your animation for is going to be the same every single time and stuff like that. And in this, I noticed like some of the animations will cancel early, or the hitboxes aren't exact, or some of the attacks are a little too wild, to the point of where it's like, okay, I can't actually
predict it.
No, I can't. And so it's like, okay, I wish they would really, like, if they were to make like a second one, they would be like, okay, make it really crisp, make the hitboxes perfect, make the attacks more deliberate, make put a little bit more of the I forgot what it's called, but the like wait window, like between moves, stuff like that,
the startup frames,
the end frames, so like when you like attack and you like
recovery frame,
the recovery frame, thank you. So yeah, like some more of that, because right now you can recover like very, very quickly.
Well, I feel like it's worth talking about the story of For Honor a little bit, having lived through it a little bit. So For Honor was going to be it was planned to be like a cornerstone competitive casual like medieval fighting game for Ubisoft. Like this at the time For Honor came out, it was supposed to, like, they were expecting it to be their like flagship IP for the next 10 years. And it came out, and I don't remember if like the negativity was surrounding gameplay, but I do remember it was basically impossible to get online and connect. Mm-hmm. Like the online servers didn't work, if I remember correctly. Like there was only a couple heroes. Like basically the game just came out in shambles too early. And it was just a flop. Like it was pretty much just like an immediate like, okay, like ignore it. And over time, I mean, they never quit on it, and it was kind of impressive. Mm-hmm. It was one of those stories where they just never quit on it. They kept adding stuff, and you know, I wouldn't say it ever really had its day again. It never really got a second chance.
It definitely has like a very devoted player base, though, I would say.
But it was recognized, and there was a small dedicated community that played it pretty fervently, and it continued to do, you know, small competitions. I watched some competitions one time, and I thought it was, you know, like kind of interesting. I downloaded it again. I saw there was a lot more champions, and mm-hmm. like Alex was saying, you know, the fun thing about this game is like you kind of run up to these other guys, and you're like, you play this little rock paper scissors, right? Is he going to attack left? Is he going to attack right? Who's going to do what? And you kind of have, you know, you feel like you're dueling someone. And
yeah,
I thought that was also a really fun idea, but I agree with you where in the sense that like it didn't feel as crisp as it could. And also there was always the factor of like, you're sitting there dueling a guy, and then his friend just comes and body slams you from the left. And you're just kind of like, well, I'm not really sure what I was supposed to do about that.
Yeah.
It's I feel like it was a good recovery story, but it just, you know, it deserves a little bit of credit, but will fall in the annals as a forgotten game.
Yeah, I like it. My big complaint about it. Sorry, we're getting a little echo from Dustin. Let's see. Oh, that's better. My big complaint from it is actually the level of microtransactions in the game. I understand you gotta make your money. Like, I get it, but it's like being unabashed about the nickel and diming is kind of crazy. I get it if you were to drop like a character pack with some content or whatever. But it's like, they're like, oh, here's a $10 skin, you know, and here's this and that, and, you know, the typical microtransaction flow. But it's just like, other than you get like, you start with like five or so characters. I think it's like maybe three per faction. There's three factions. So maybe like nine characters. I don't even actually think it's a full nine. I think maybe you get like seven, but there's like 20 something characters. So it's like, you get this like small fraction of characters, and you have to pay for all of the rest individually. And it's like, I kind of, and they have like season passes, or they'll be like, you could buy the year one pass, or the year two pass, or the year three pass. And it's like, I kind of get it. But at the same time, looking at it like as a player who's just jumping in and who hasn't slowly purchased all these characters over like the 8 years or whatever the game has been out, I look at that and go, fuck no. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like the strategy needs to be kind of revisited and be like, you know, maybe we should have, after so many years, make these characters free, or, you know, be like, hey, like you pay for them, and then after 3 years, it's free, and then if you bought the pack beforehand, maybe we'll give you extra skins or some shit. Like, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But, like, just looking at it as a new player in a game that's been around for 8 years, the amount of microtransactions was very significant. And, you know, that just put a little bad taste in my mouth, because it's like, if I want to play a character, I have to pay for it. Though they did allow you to play the character in training mode to, like, test them out. But, you know, that's training mode. I kind of would have liked...
My issue with For Honor was just that, like, as I played it when it first came out, like, some people just, like, got so into it right away, where, like, and I can't remember off the top of my head, I don't think there were, like, brackets on, like, skill.
Oh.
So, like, I felt like I just jumped in and, mm-hmm. like, was just, like, getting fucking destroyed over and over because like people were already like so much better than I was, and it just like made the game extremely unfun. Yeah, and I just didn't have the patience to sit there and learn like the exact the perfect parries and like all these different moves for the different characters to like be able to compete. So yeah, it just like got like uber competitive like instantly within like the community, and I was like, this game's just I don't have the time to like you know get to that skill, and like other people have so quickly that I don't even want to play. So.
You know, I might be remembering this incorrectly, but I believe there was an exploit in the game and they failed to patch it and someone won a tournament with that exploit. I'm pretty sure that was For Honor. Yeah, I don't have the information on hand, but I do remember a scandal around that.
Wow.
And so it was just like kind of things like that where one, if they had a devout competitive scene, they kind of lost it when things like that occurred.
Hey, that's a good point too, because something that I found interesting about the game is, so if you're familiar with like the Dynasty Warriors kind of a game where you have like two teams that are like one's attacking, one's defending, and you have a bunch of like NPCs, and then you're like the strong hero and there's a couple of heroes. That's how the game is during its kind of normal modes. And I found it very interesting that they didn't lean more into the competitive nature of the game. Because I agree with you, Dustin, like people immediately got competitive and they're like wanted to show how good they were and stuff like that. And so it wasn't just about, it wasn't anymore about winning the actual match. I don't think anybody really cared about that. It was about winning duels. Yeah. And I feel like if they were to like, and so I feel like there was a little bit of a mismatch between the vision and the actuality of how the game was played. And that's probably why we felt that, because I felt that same thing.
Well, the competitive is only the duels. They don't, I don't think they do the other type of map. It's just one-on-ones. Or
right.
Two,
oh, okay.
Twos.
Interesting. But see, that's where I see, like, if they were to come out with like another one, like a Fallout, like a For Honor 2 or something like that, it's something they can improve upon. Is making the game either something that could be better competed in, you know, maybe like a 5v5 hero mode or something like that, as opposed to like whatever, where you just kind of go and clash it out. Or
I mean,
I don't
there's
know.
Things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, either way, it just didn't work out. It just, the game in itself, it just didn't quite, like, mold as well as they thought. But there was some good ideas there. So I think if they do, you know, try to, I don't know if it's going to get a second one. It's been supported so well for so long. I have this weird feeling like it's more like an Overwatch where they're never going to truly make a second one. But who knows?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, that Ubisoft has been doing that too. Like, think about Siege. Rainbow Six Siege, like that's another game that I love. Rainbow Six Siege, actually, that's another game worth mentioning. And Ubisoft actually has these like sleeper, I would say sleeper, just because I mean what I mean in the sense of that is like media coverage, is they have these like sleeper live service games. They're actually one of the few companies who have like a really successful lineup of live service games. So like I would consider Siege, loosely considered For Honor in that as well, and like that are really popular, that are doing well, that they're probably have no plans for creating sequels for, but that are doing really well. But this is the weekly roundup. Do you guys want to, do you guys got anything to add? I know I kind of took it over a little bit.
No, I mean, let's,
cool.
Let's keep it rolling here.
Yeah. If you guys are, if you're just joining in and you're new, I didn't really go over it in the beginning and I apologize for that. But usually what we do is we do our weekly roundup in the beginning, which is kind of like, what are we playing? What's going on in the news, et cetera. Then we're going to answer a few questions, which you can do by going to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. That's ASK. And you can write into the show, ask us a question, and we will talk about it mid-show. So we do have some questions. And then at the end, we're going to talk about kind of more of our core segment here. And we're going to talk about Fallout. Of course, the show just dropped. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. But first, let's dive into some of our questions. We actually have quite a lot of questions. I'm a little worried for time, but that's a good problem to have. So first question by Dustin's Weekly Waifu, which is clearly Ralph. Dustin, who's your weekly waifu?
I don't know. I don't really have one this week, honestly. I was thinking about this because I didn't film the favorite gaming characters segment. And I had one in mind, too. Oh, I was just, you know what? It's not a waifu. I'm just going to say favorite gaming character. I was going to do Jin Sakai from Ghost of Tsushima because he's a badass and he's faced.
He can be like, a waifu.
Yeah. He's a, I guess it's not a waifu. It's called like husbando or something like that when it's a dude. So the husbando of the week is Jin Sakai because that game's amazing. And he's also just like faced with so many like different decisions where like he has to throw away like this code of honor that he's like been grown up with, and like, and he has like this difficult decision, you know, like do what needs to be done and like save my people but know that like I'm gonna be outcast, or follow this honor that like my father and uncle and everyone have taught me as a samurai my whole life and watch like watch myself and all my people perish. So, you know, he obviously does what needs to be done to save his people. And at like, well, if you haven't played it at this point, but at the end, he's basically outcast for it by the samurai community. And so, yeah, you know, he's a badass who, you know, had to, what's that quote? It's like the people who have the means to do something have the responsibility to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, you know, no matter the consequences. So he's my favorite character of the week.
That's a great one. I love that game. Oh god, I just want to play that game again. It's so good. And you're so right. Like the story is so good. His character progression is so good. I mean, it's everything about it's good. That's a good one. All right, next question from Ralph. It says Ralph will set up his cam to be on the show at some point. Thank you, Ralph. So,
yes.
That was his name. So he's been putting jokes in the names. So with celebrities having more and more cameos in video games, which cameo have you enjoyed the most, and did any surprise you? That's a good question. Might require a little thought, though.
I don't know. I feel like it's just the flavor of the month. Like, Keanu Reeves Cyberpunk's the first one I think about. But, like, I don't know. I kind of don't really care.
Yeah, I can't even really think of one, honestly. I don't know. And is that even a cameo, or is that more like, well, I guess it is, right? But everybody knew it was happening because it was, like, so heavily advertised beforehand, where I think, like, when I think cameo, I think it's, like, unexpected, and like you're watching something, you're like, holy shit, that person's in the background, or like the main character just talked to Brad Pitt.
And I can't think of any of them in video games.
Hideo Kojima in Cyberpunk.
Only thing I can think of.
I wonder what, Ralph, you need to tell us in your question next week is your name, which one you were thinking about when you sent this answer in.
No, we're gonna have him on the show finally one next of these week, days. Though?
We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
If he listens to this and he texts me and be like, yo, I'm down, I'll have to message him. But yeah, that's actually a tough question. That's a lot tougher. Like, even just thinking about games that have like actors as the main character. Like, what was the one recently? Callisto Protocol had Josh Duhamel, or let me see, Callisto Protocol or whatever.
I mean, it's just, it's or great any for the narrative games, you know, but it's just like another flavor of acting, right? Like, I mean, think about Alan Wake 2, right? I mean, yes, they're not super famous cameos, but like those actors are now famous because they were portrayed this video game character.
Yeah, you know? So I pulled up a list from Game Rant. It's the top 10 video game, top 10 celebrities cameos in games. It's Drew Carey in The Sims was 10. Kojima in Cyberpunk was 9. Conan O'Brien in Death Stranding.
He's that's got right.
Like an otter on his head.
Yeah, he's like
Gary
like
Coleman in Postal 2, which I never played that. I don't know what that is.
Kojima, it's a game where you go postal. It's not a good, not well received game.
Go Kojima ahead. Also appears in Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Buzz Aldrin is in Mass Effect 3, I guess.
What?
Is he in actually Mass Effect 3? Or if it's like
just a name.
Yeah, Stan Lee's in Marvel Spider-Man, which that doesn't really feel like a big cameo. He's in like he does that forever. Ricky Gervais in Grand Theft Auto 4. And then Lewis Hamilton is in COD Infinite Warfare. That's 2. And then the number one was Logic appearing in The Last of Us Part 2.
Wow. I didn't know Logic was on The Last of Us Part 2. Okay.
I looked up the Buzz Aldrin thing. He voices like a random civilian on one of the planets, so you wouldn't really know. And did you know that the girl from Game of Thrones, who is like the becomes the queen, the really pretty girl,
Natalie Dormer.
Yeah, she voices. She voices Liara.
Oh wow!
I didn't know that. Or at least in one of the games. I don't know if not all of them, but I can see here that like she voices at least one of them. Very interesting.
Mass Effect's the whole 1, 2, and 3 perfect trilogy.
We don't have enough time to go down that loophole.
Oh, right. My God.
Hold on. The one voice actress that I loved when I found out, because I watched Grey's Anatomy with my wife, is Camilla Luddington. And I think she's super pretty. She plays, like, one of the doctors. And she actually voices... She's Jo.
Okay. She's like, Katie's watching Grey's Anatomy right now.
She's been on the show, like, the last, like, I don't know, maybe, like, five to eight years. Oh, okay, yeah. Like, she's a newer character. But she voices Lara Croft in the newer Tomb Raiders.
Oh.
And when I found that out, I was, oh, that's pretty cool. What's up, Joe?
That's cool.
Nice. All right, next question. This is from Ralph. How old should a child be when they are introduced to video games? What game is going to be the game you try to introduce to your children? I play games already with Naomi, and she's 1 year old. Yeah. So, yep.
Same with Arthur. He's 4, but I've been trying to play games with him since he was very young. I started with like games based on stuff that he's interested in. So, like, I downloaded like this Paw Patrol racing game that like basically drives for you, and he was having a blast with that on the computer. And then also, there's a Peppa Pig game that we played together. And then I've tried to do Spider-Man with him. Because he loves Spider-Man, and then trying to let him swing from the buildings. But I need to install that feature. Well, not install. I just need to set the feature where you can, as when you're playing with somebody, it's an accessibility feature, but you can have both controllers working at the same time. So like you could give the controller to Naomi, and she could be fucking around with it while you're actually using the controller to swing around. Well, she'll think that she's kind of doing it. So like it allows you to kind of like guide them and course correct if they get off track. So
yeah, that's super cool. I love that idea. And yeah, I've been playing Spider-Man, or I did with her too, and she likes to watch it. So like I'll have her sit next to me, and she'll just hold like an empty controller. She doesn't, you know, do anything with it, and she'll watch Spider-Man. Oh, very cool. You know, cool. I don't know what the right answer for that is, but I've definitely been doing it early. I mean, I remember like one of the first games I ever played. I was probably like 3 or 4. We used to play Math Blaster on the computer and like Carmen Sandiego game. And then I remember probably when I was like 4 or 5 playing Duke Nukem, which I was probably way too young to play. But I remember
that.
Yeah. Well, the game has what was considered at the time, like, you know, not nudity, but like girls. And, you know, it's like pixelated. But dad would put on the adult content lock. So basically it would just remove all the like girls in bikinis in the game, which were pixels. It wasn't like shit. But yeah. I remember going, I figured out a way to unlock it just because he like locked it. I was like, I didn't actually care for the girls when I was like 5, but I was like, I want in this mode. Like, don't you dare tell me what to do.
Yeah, what am I missing?
And so I figured out that if I loaded up his save, it would unlock it, and then I could reload mine back in, and it wouldn't lock it back. So
wow.
I would, like, do that, and it would get, and I was, you know, just
careful,
like a bug.
You get yourself in trouble.
You guys will hear this and be like, what the fuck?
But
grounded.
I thought that
so
was really
tame.
Funny.
Like Duke Nukem.
I know.
Yeah. Well, either way, should we move on? Because I know we're running short.
Yeah, we still got more questions, so we got 2 more. This one is from Ralph. Help. It says, send Ralph help, Greg. So, Greg, you're being called out. You need to ask some questions. Last week, we talked about cartridge versus online games and having the ability to patch glitches and exploits. Do you guys have any glitches or exploits from games growing up that you remember? Also, should you... Oh, this is... He's saying we should put a button on our webpage that leads to the Ask link. Okay. Exploits that we used. I mean, definitely. Let me think if I can think of one that was like...
The missing no in Pokemon was the one I think about the most. Yeah.
Right. That's such a classic. I mean, it was like a Stack Overflow in memory, which is such an interesting idea. But basically, it was a Pokemon that should have never existed. and it glitched the game. And you can do like duplication glitches. Yeah, you could do a duplicate glitch. You could catch him too, technically, but you could. But
you
would could,
like corrupt your save file if you did. If I remember, that was like it was like myth. It was literally because no one wanted to test it. It's like a myth.
Yeah. So you would. Yeah, so there was like this like location on a water area in Pokemon like Red and Blue that if you sailed on it, there was a Stack Overflow error in memory. So basically, it tried to find the 152nd Pokemon, and it caused a glitch because it didn't exist. And so the error message was missing number because it didn't
missing
have
number.
Enough. It didn't. Yeah. So they called it missing no, and the picture, because it was trying to load a picture for the 151st, which basically happened is it was looking in a section of memory that didn't exist. So, or well, that didn't have a picture. So the picture was this random gibber, like random picture of crap because just it was pixels. Hey, I found this thing in memory. Is it a photo? Let me see. And it was nothing. It was just like all these like random shit, but it would let you fight it. And, because of that, it would let some item in your, I think it was in your,
like the 10th slot or something that. Yeah.
Would get it was infinite number of items because I guess what would happen is it would write over that slot with like battle data, but it would, you know, increase the number of items. Anyways, very, very cool. You're right, Tyler. That's a good call out. That is the best one. I'll have to think on that as well if there's anything good. This one's from Patrick. He says, please don't call me Uncle Patrick. Hey guys, loving the content. Two questions this week. What is the game you always find yourself going back to, single player or multiplayer? What is the game you play when you have a lull in new content? Mine is either Final Fantasy Tactics or Terraria. That's a great question.
Yeah, those are both good ones too.
What do I always go back to? I have a lot of single player games that I go back to personally.
Sea of Thieves.
We have been playing Sea of Thieves. I'll play Mega Man X and Duke Nukem a lot, which is like if I was to go as far back as I can, like I love playing. I have Mega Man. I have both of them actually on my phone now because I'm just like, hey, let's just play a game. Duke Nukem is like one of my favorite all time games. I mean, I'll play like Dead Space. Some like I have a list of like my top like 30 games that I love, and I'll just like rotate through that list every like decade or so. What you guys?
Yeah, I mean, like, I have certain RPGs that, like, I'll just go and play every, like, 5 or so years or whatever, you know, I feel like it. So, like, Knights of the Old Republic, I just, like, every, like, 3 years, I beat and play that game. You know, like, Oblivion or, like, Skyrim, I'll get, like, you know, some kind of a Bethesda game, like Fallout in there, and I'll play and beat those. Mass Effects are another one. I'll play... 2 is my favorite, but all 3 are great. As Alex said, Mega Man X I beat the shit out of Mega Man X until I could beat it in under an hour, and then I was like, okay, I'm good. So yeah, I mean, I always float back to WoW at some point or another. So there's a lot of games I go back to. What about you, Dustin?
I brought my list up real quick. Hold on. Because I actually have it like written down. I was like, Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. I always go back to those. You're right. KOTAR, Knights of the Republic. Soma is one that I actually play very regularly. I'll play that almost once a year. I love that game. It's a very short game, so you can like blast through it. Let me see. Halo 1 and 2. Yeah, Duke Nukem, Mega Man X, Final Fantasy 9. Those are kind of like the ones that I rotate through. Yeah.
I don't think I go back to any old game like that. Honestly, really? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think about it. Like, at least, like, since I had kids, I can't think of it. Where, like, because, again, like, time is so limited that, like, I'm just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't find myself going and, like, just, like, wait, like, you know, not wasting time, but, like, you know, killing time by just playing an old game I've beat already. I'll usually, like, I find myself doing that a lot more with movies, honestly. Like, I'll, instead of, like, getting into a new movie and investing time into that, or like a TV show, I'm like, I'm just gonna watch this thing I've watched before because I don't have to pay attention as much. So yeah, I don't know, games, there's not a lot of games I could say like, oh yeah, I've beaten that game like 5 times. Like,
I feel like once Baldur's Gate 1 is another one for me. I play that one a lot.
Dustin will find his game. He'll find his game. All right. This next question is a great segue. Have any of you guys checked out the new Fallout series? I've never played any of them, so I can't compare it to the game. Did you guys play them? What do you think of the show? Thank you for the amazing transition over to our next area. But first, I want to say before we dive in, we really appreciate everyone who follows us and is subscribed to us. We post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms. If you want to ask us questions or leave a comment, you can now go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. Leave us a comment and we'll talk about it in the middle of our show. Really appreciate it. The follows and the subscribes are like amazing for us. That's how we, you know, keeps our confidence up. So if you're subscribed and you followed, make sure all your friends are too. It makes us feel good. We really appreciate it. Fallout. So Tyler and I have watched about half of the show, and we're also big Fallout fans. But Dustin, you haven't really played much of the game. So like, what is your like hype level on this? Like, does this move the needle for you at all? I mean, do you even care?
It's cool. You know, like, I'm glad that there's another successful video game adaption. You know, everybody I've been seeing online has been like very positive about it. I'll probably watch it, but yeah, I mean, I've never been a Fallout guy. I played 4 for about an hour and a half and was like, this isn't for me. Played 76, I think, with you, Alex, for like an hour also. And, you know, I was like, not really all that into it. So I don't know. For whatever reason, the Fallout games have just not been that fun for me. So, you know, I wasn't really looking forward to the show. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a huge gamer and love when the community sees successes. So I'm glad that people are really liking it. And I'll probably check it out just because everyone said it's so good. But I haven't even watched The Last of Us yet on HBO.
Oh my God.
You know? So we got to do that.
I got like halfway through the first episode and I got like interrupted. And I was like, I got to like be able to watch this show when I can just sit down and not be interrupted. Plus, I don't want to watch it with the kids awake because it's kind of violent with zombies. I haven't just found that moment to sit there and just invest in The Last of Us series. So, you know, I don't know. Eventually get around to it.
Yeah. This one is also violent. Just a warning.
Understandable.
Yeah. So for those who aren't like super familiar with the Fallout series, or maybe you are, but the Fallout takes place in a post-apocalyptic future in a kind of an alternate timeline where during like the Cold War era, maybe a little bit earlier, like kind of during like the 50s, 60s, nuclear bombs hit the Earth and like eradicate everything. But technology is like stuck between, it's like as if the 50s style and the 60s style of technology got advanced, but never like more advanced than it was. I don't know. Like, they took that technology and made
too deep into Fallout lore. Basically, the bombs drop in 2077, actually.
Oh, really?
And so basically, like, something happens in World War II that's different, and there's a deviation. So basically, what the 1950s and early 1960s style becomes the most prevalent and persists for like 100 more years. And they advance technology to get robots and other things, but it's all through the guise of this 1950s anti-communist Red Scare kind of filter.
Very propaganda-y. Very like Helldivers kind of esque, where they're like, do your part for America, right? And kind of all that. Like very 50s, right? But it's also kind of
good Nazis a dead Nazi.
Yeah. And it's very like tongue in cheek. Like it's very much supposed to be like this like anti-capitalist kind of, you know, satire. And the show does a really, really good job of nailing that game. And so I think I'm like 5 episodes in. I might be a little further than you are. And the show is spot on in the game, and I'm so glad that we have another, like, we've been having really good video game adaptions this year, and I'm really glad that they're starting to take it seriously, because I felt like in the past a lot of writers in Hollywood, for some reason, they like to take it and make it their own thing, and they don't like to be respectful of the original source material. And I feel like what was that? And
Halo.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of shit like Resident Evil.
A lot of Assassin's Creed.
Anyways, But I feel like they really gave this the respect of the game that it deserves. Like, it feels like a game, like the game. Like, it feels like you could easily make plop this into a game and it would work. They have, like, you know, the vaults, they have the Brotherhood of Steel, they have the Enclave and stuff like that. There is some slight deviations from the canon of the video games, but it all totally makes sense within the confines of the show and within the universe. So it's like nothing that I'm like mad about. The characters are really well written. Like, for instance, like the main character is a vault dweller, as you would expect. And, you know, she's like really naive. And that's the whole thing. And like
almost overly naive. And that's the point. Like, it's trying to show that contrast. I mean, that's something like I will add on to here from what you said, Alex, is like the show does a really great job through all of its different methods of communication, like to communicate like the contrast between the vault dwellers and the wasteland and, you know, like the different experiences and that they have. And I thought that was really cool. And like the vault dwellers specifically, like all of their clothing are very brightly colored.
Vibrant,
they're all overly diplomatic. They're like soup. They're, you know, they're helpful to a fault, you know, and so it's a very interesting contrast when she goes outside and she's like sitting there. I really like the main character's story, even though I'm only halfway through. I really like her story so far because it's showing how naive she is, but like in a lot of ways, it's kind of like she's the player and we're in her slot. So like when I'm walking around in Fallout, you know, and I see someone asking for help, like, I have the same reaction that this character has, and it's like, oh, I should go help them. You walk up and help them, but then you're in nuclear fallout. Like, you going and helping them means now you're subject to danger. And so, like, it's just kind of, like, you can really put yourself in the body of Lucy. She is, like, truly a main character in the sense that, like, she kind of plays that out.
Yeah.
And she's learning the hard way, you know, that she has to...
And it doesn't,
you know, adapt. You know?
And it doesn't feel out of place at all.
Yeah.
It feels like it's totally within her character, and it's perfect. And like, I really like the character development they have in these. Not just her character, all the characters. So there's multiple characters. She's the main character, but there's a lot of characters, and they're all flawed, and they all go through these like progressions as you go through, and it's very well done. And there's a lot of, and the way they do the violence in the game is fantastic because it's like. It's a little over the top, violently, like in violence, but it not to the point of where it seems out of place. Like it's
the show or in the game?
In the show. Well, in both, right? And one of the things that I really like about the show too is they put a lot of nods to the game.
Yeah.
In a very, very tactical way, like a very good way. Like they're like shooting off body parts of people and like you would do in the game. Or there's like a point in the where one of the characters is like has this great line where they're like, hey, where are we going? And he goes, well, like, I forgot the exact wordage, but it's something along the lines of like, what seems to always happen is we're doing some bullshit side quest. And and you're like, like, I see what you did there, right? Like,
he was saying like, don't get distracted by bullshit side quests or something like that. And it was just such a nod to like never doing the main quest in these games because you're always getting distracted by some bullshit. So that like having the, you know, you can easily have flavor like that that doesn't land. And that's the thing is like bad video game adaptations will do similar like nods to the original source material, but it doesn't land. So you know, it's hard. It's delicate.
Yeah, but when Walter, or I think it's Walter Coggins, delivers it, it lands. Like
he's wonderful. He was born for this IP, like in this series. I think he does a great job.
Yeah. He's. I mean, I like him as an actor. Like I've watched him since like Justified, and I thought he was so good in that, and I love that show. And he's also in other things. Like he's one of the bad guys in one of the Ant-Man movies, and things like that. But he does such a good job in this role. And I don't want to ruin anything because the show is like, you know, really, but I like that his character pre-war, like what he was, you know, that he was that. Anyways, when you watch the show, you'll find it. You'll find it funny. But the characters are all very endearing. The world is very much Fallout, which is beautiful. They don't shy away from violence. It feels like a video game show to me. But that's what it should feel like. It should feel like a little bit of a video game, but not so much you know, that you're like drawn out of it. You know what I mean?
I think it's just really impressive that we're starting to really see these video game adaptations that like somehow understand the essence of the game itself a lot better than the past ones have. You know, instead of like Fallout has been a really great example of like somehow, and you know, we're not a film podcast, so we're not going to go into like super depth about this, but like somehow it's taking the spirit of the Fallout games and really representing it well in a TV show format in whatever way it chose to do that. And that's really impressive and encouraging. And like, I'm really like excited. We got The Last of Us. We got Fallout. Like, there's been a few others out there. We don't need to name them all, but like, we're getting some really solid video game out of Sonic. Like, people really like Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting some really solid video game adaptations, and that just makes me so excited because I personally am a huge fan of narrative-based video games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said this yet, but it's worth watching. It's like, I would give it like a 10 out of 10. Very good. And there's a lot of really good hooks, and it's not just a good show, but like it actually makes you want to watch. You know, not enough shows, you hit the end of an episode, you're like, all right, whatever. Like, each episode has a really good cliffhanger that leads you to the next one.
Does it actually follow one of the games' storylines?
No,
not at all.
It is after it post the games. All
so that's cool because The Last of Us follows the game.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't
but
know.
But the game is a strong narrative lineage.
Yes.
Fallout is a exploration based discovery game. So it's funny because I think we can kind of loop this back to what Alex was saying about Dragon's Dogma 2 earlier. You know, that game, both Dragon's Dogma and Fallout are both completely discovery-based games. You explore a world, you grow your character. That's the fun part about the game. Fallout, however, has a very personality-ed, like, developed experience. It feels, yeah. In Fallout, it feels like if you're not playing the game, that world could still be existing and thriving, right? And that can be a big thing in video games, in video game immersion in general. Do I feel convinced that this world would exist if I wasn't playing a main character in this game? Dragon's Dogma, the answer is no. In a game like Fallout, you feel yes. Like Joe at the general store actually goes to bed at 10 o'clock. He walks to his house and goes to bed and gets back up. And so like that's why Bethesda actually like has always been one of the kings of these kind of genres of games because they put
flaws
are no seriously though I mean people ignore Bethesda flaws because of how good they are at creating that immersion. So I think it's really cool that we're seeing that in film.
And you know, segueing into the game a little bit, so like obviously this made me want to play the game, and I downloaded New Vegas. We talked about that a little bit, but I've seen a lot of people, there's been a lot of uptick on Fallout 76 as well, which is the like online game. I actually randomly still have it downloaded on my Xbox like
I'm
app order because it's on,
interested.
It's kind of it's on Game Pass, so maybe we can drop in because I'm only playing it because
I've never
it's
touched
free.
It. I've never touched it.
You know
it.
What? I played it with Jake year or two ago or whatever. I actually liked it. I didn't love it. I'll give you that. But as far as like what the idea of the game and the vision of the game is, especially for a game that's free on Game Pass, let me put that.
I mean, I'm in
context around.
Yeah,
let's play it. I actually really enjoyed it. It does have a lot of flaws, like a Bethesda game does, and I could see that it's one of those games though that when it launched like really shitty, and it was content
had a horrible
barren,
launch.
And now years later, it had so many patches to it that it's a lot better. I played it like a year after it came out, so I even played it after that. And then now it's
a game. Yeah, it's a game. I said to myself, like, okay, maybe 3-4 years, like exactly like freaking For Honor. I literally said the same thing. I was like, you know what? Fine, I'll play it in 3-4 years. And now I'm like, okay, Fallout 76. Sure, I'll try it. Now it probably is pretty decent.
And it's worth saying too that I don't know if this is going to still be the case when the podcast airs on Tuesday, but as of today, Sunday, April 14th, the Fallout games are on sale on Steam.
Oh.
So
pick up 3, pick up 4, pick
New
up
Vegas.
New Vegas.
Let's see. So Fallout 76, normally $40 is 8. It's 80% off. With if you get the deluxe pack, which has all the DLC, it's $20, normally 60. Hold on, let me back up here. The special Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition, $50, is now $5. Fallout 4 Oh, this is the VR edition. Well, normally 60 is 15. Anyways, you get the point. If
a Fallout fan, I'm going to go ahead and recommend to our viewership, I would pick up Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition, and I would pick up Fallout 3 New Vegas.
4 is good too, but not as good.
No, it's good, but if you're coming into the series new, start with 3, then go to New Vegas.
Yeah, and maybe
some people might say just start with New Vegas, but I think that might be a little bit of a barrier.
I mean, it's kind of tough because Fallout 4 is a much more the visuals of the game are better. The story is
narratively it's not the same though.
The story, if you're okay, so here, if you like story, Fallout 3 and New Vegas are better. If you just want to run around, explore, shoot stuff, and be more action based and build like a settlement, Fallout 4 is better. It's just the Fallout 4 is a great is in Fallout 4's defense, I really like Fallout 4 other than the story. The story is absolute dog shit, but everything else in that game is pretty good. The settlement stuff could do with some work, but
I think that's fair, but like to me Fallout 3
it's the best one for sure.
It's a much more difficult game. It's not holding your hand. So it's not you know, I don't want to ruin anything, but essentially, you know, you're put into the world and good luck, you know, so you have to like really go off of your own like patience and exploration and instinct. But in the end, it is a more narratively interesting game.
Yeah.
The progression's better. The companions feel better. 4 is more modern. And if you want your hand held a little bit more, that's fine. No problems with that. It also does have a base building aspect that is, in my opinion, like a big distraction. It's not what I really want to be doing in that game.
Oh.
But narratively, it's just not as impactful.
Goodbye the entire Fallout franchise. Well, it's tough for me to say because I already have games from the collection, so it's giving me a discounted. Let me see if I just show the individual. It's like $50.
Wow,
mine is less but it's you could buy every single Fallout game, including 1, 2, 3, 4, Tactics. 76, and like all of them. Yeah, for like $50.
There's also, I'm just looking like Final Fantasy Tactics. There's a Fallout Tactics.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the date. It is good. The sale goes to the 19th. So okay. if you're listening to this before the 19th and you're interested in Fallout, now's the time.
All right.
Cool. And I think this is the perfect time for us to close her up. But Fallout, you know, to recap. We love to play video games, and Fallout is good. This Fallout TV show is good.
Play Fallout. Watch the TV
show. You guys got anything before we end?
No. I think I'm going to go watch some more Fallout. Maybe
we should play Fallout 76. We were going to go to the Warhammer store, but maybe now it'll just turn into playing Fallout. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified when we post new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you much.